Chronicles tonight to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, and we'll be reading only one verse tonight from this particular chapter. And today being Veterans Day, I was reminded of this verse of Scripture, and it seemed that the Lord would have me to bring a few thoughts concerning a Messiah. In 2 Chronicles 17:16, we find, "And next him was a Messiah, the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself unto the Lord, and with him 200,000 mighty men of valor." Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts now, and may we glean from your word on this Veterans Day something that will honor Christ and be an inspiration to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. It was a great thing for King Jehoshaphat to have such a godly captain, one who could command an army and at the same time obey the commands of God. If we could have godly men to occupy our offices and transact our business, we should be very grateful and do our best to encourage them and to cheer them on. Today being Veterans Day across our land, many veterans have been honored by a greeting on the street, by a free meal, by general kindness and words of commendation everywhere. And truly, it's been an honor to have been a former member of the Armed Forces of America and to have served faithfully in the effort to keep America free. It was a great thing for the country of Judah to have a godly captain over so large a part of her army as 200,000 mighty men of valor. Proverbs 29 and verse 2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." It has been our hope and prayer that there will be an increasing desire that those persons who represent us in government or who legislate in any way should be men of good character. Those who are immoral are not the men and women that need to be making our laws or seeing that those laws are carried out. We need to have godly men in high places who will see to it that right is done, that justice is maintained, and that godly values are promoted. Happy is a nation that has godly officers to discharge its business, a nation who fears God and fear none beside. I'm afraid there's been a great turning point in our military, and those of us who have served and are here tonight as veterans, if we were to go back in the military today, we would find that the landscape and the atmosphere has changed dramatically. Chaplains no longer are able to preach the word in its entirety. Everybody that goes in now has to have diversity training. And we find that there's political correctness on every issue, and there is perversion that is being promoted, and because of the faith of Christians in the military today, they are passed over for promotion in many cases, while those who embrace homosexuality are promoted and advanced. Be very difficult for me to serve in today's armed forces. Be very, very difficult for me. And for these young people coming along, I certainly would not advise you to go into the military. I'm just leaving that right there. Because the military today is biased against Christianity, and it's the promoting, it is all for promoting and has passed laws that embrace things that are ungodly and wrong. Our military has been weakened and continues to degenerate as we give weight and authority to voices that are evil and voices who refuse to honor God or God's word. I wonder how this man, Amaziah, the son of Zichri, came to be a servant of God. We have no history of his experience. I wish we did. But even so, if his life shows that he's serving God, we must be well content with just knowing that. And the testimony is he served the Lord willingly. Amaziah is a man of whom we do not know anything beyond this. He willingly offered himself unto the Lord. There must have been a turning point in his career, a time when he first knew of the grace of God which worked such a change in his life. There must have been a waking up to the feeling that God deserved his love and God deserved his life and his service. We are told nothing about that. Must leave that under the veil which Scripture draws over his history. But I do earnestly desire that the inward enlightenment that he enjoyed may be experienced by many of us who are here tonight. And that the Holy Ghost may work upon your hearts and bring you to the point of willingly offering yourself to the Lord. The more ability and influence you have, the greater is the reason why you should willingly offer yourself unto the Lord. There is going to be hard fighting ahead. And our Lord calls for men who will not be afraid to do it. Let all the heroism of your manhood impel you to the blessed service of the Lord. You are not asked to serve the Lord because he promises you ease and pleasure. You are rather called to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. The song says, "Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Your courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose." I'm going to use the account of Amaziah tonight, the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself unto the Lord as an illustration of what I trust will be true of many of my hearers this evening. Oh, that the Holy Spirit may draw out somebody who shall become a mighty servant of God in these times, a standard bearer for the Lord Jesus Christ who shall lift high his royal banner. First, let me say that Amaziah is distinguished from the other mighty men of Jehoshaphat by the fact that he made it his life work to serve the Lord. He willingly offered himself unto the Lord, and he was accepted and became a lifelong servant of Jehovah, the God of Israel. This is reasonable service, is it not? To serve your master who created you, that you should glorify him, surely that is the right thing to do. And now, since Jesus has died for us, would it not be a right thing for you to offer yourself to him who yielded himself up to death for us? This is an argument that Amaziah did not have. And yet he found reason enough to serve the Lord. How much stronger the claim is upon you and me tonight. And if this plea needs to be strengthened further, think of the fact that you are called to serve him with whom you hope to spend eternity in heaven. Amen? It ought to be an instinct of every reasonable soul to set about such service instantly. Just ordinary gratitude should cause every Christian to say to his Lord, "Whom else should I serve? I owe to thee my new life. I owe, Lord, to you all I possess. In thee I live and move and have my being. By thee I am daily fed. By thy blessing I have health and strength. By thy ability I can take the next breath. Why should I not serve thee?" Not only that, but this is honorable service. Men like a service that is honorable. To serve under a great man makes even the foot soldier feel as if he's a great man too. I hear people talk about serving under General Patton, or maybe Dwight Eisenhower, other great men. But to serve the God of heaven gives the most honor of all. What a grand life a man must lead who is the genuine servant of the Almighty God. To serve him whom angels serve. To serve him whom the archangels serve. And the cherubim serve. And the seraphim serve. Why, this is the most honorable service to which man may attain. The Lord actually makes us kings and priests. Every man becomes a king in proportion as he really serves the Lord. Further, this is a rewarding service. The devil spoke a truth that he did not mean to speak when he said, "Doth Job serve God for naught?" Job, Satan looking at him, had to admit that there was a hedge about Job. He couldn't get to him till God lifted the hedge. And God had blessed Job with all kinds of material possessions as well as a big family, 10 children, a wife. And so Job was rich. But I want to say to you tonight, you know the story of Job and the trial that he went through, but when the trying times were over, the trying and the crying times, Bible says God blessed Job more in the latter days than he did even in the beginning. God never lets his servants serve him for nothing. He may not always give them gold and silver and earthly possessions, but he will give a reward that is more satisfying to them than all of these things. I never met a man who served God who complained of his wages. Never have met that man. Just the privilege of serving God is reward enough. I've actually told people, listen, they'd say something about me coming to preach for them. I said, you don't need, I'd really rather you not even pay me anything. Just to have an opportunity to preach the word is all I need. That's gift enough for me. Just let me preach. While we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, we experience the love of God. Tonight you came in here and many of you, I could see the smile on your face as you greeted one another and you could sense the love and the friendship and the camaraderie between all of you. I mean, we're a family here. And the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given us. What a wonderful thing that is. And then the Bible says we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Isn't that an amazing verse? I'm telling you, God's watching over us tonight. We all, listen, We have all of these promises here. We're enjoying God's watch care, His provision, His protection, the love of a family that He's placed us in. We're enjoying this great salvation, and the best part is yet to come. Amen? Amen. He whose life is devoted to the service of God must have a blessed life. In the judgment of some men, I know that it may not always seem like God's people are happy. I don't know of anybody who whistles all the time, do you? Unless it's Brother Dwayne. No, I've never seen Brother Dwayne whistling in the graveyard. I tell you, there's enough heartaches and broken hearts and trials and tribulations in this life to where we all have our ups and downs, don't we? There are burdens to bear. There are battles to be fought. There are tears to be wept. And yet we know that when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Amen? Amen? When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown, a bright and shining crown. Yes, there is a cost. And Jesus asks you to count the cost before you enroll yourself under His leadership. But you may rest assured that you can never calculate the value of the reward that Christ has in store for all of His faithful followers. Therefore, without any reserve, I may fairly come to each person here tonight, and I'd say to you, like Amaziah, the son of Zichri, offer yourself willingly to the Lord. And to go a step further, I'd like to say that Amaziah was a willing volunteer. He didn't wait for God to knock him down or force him into service. He willingly offered himself to the Lord. There may be some truth to the old proverb that one volunteer is worth 20 drafted men. I don't know. But service willingly offered has a fragrance and a beauty about it that makes it most delightful and acceptable to the one receiving the service. No need of forcing or pressing the issue. There is such a thing as pressing a man so long that all the juice gets pressed out of him and all you have left is the husk remaining. It took no pressing at all for Amaziah, for in his soul there was this ardent desire to serve the living God. He willingly offered himself to the Lord. There was no need to track him down. You know, there are some church members like Saul when he was appointed king. They couldn't find him. Where is that tall fellow that stands head and shoulders above everybody? Last somebody comes and says, well, he's hidden himself among the stuff. A lot of people hiding among the stuff today. There are numbers of both men and women who ought to be coming forward for the Lord's service, but they're hiding among the rubbish somewhere. Plenty of people who need to get engaged in God's work, but they are among the stuff. And the stuff of this world is stealing their crown. One of the most awesome things that Jesus said in His counseling with the churches in Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, we read, He said, behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. If you don't do it, somebody else may. And somebody else may get the crown that you could have gotten. Oh, how we need to imitate Amaziah tonight, who willingly offered himself unto the Lord. Nobody was required either to look after him to keep him in the service. There are some in churches today who will stay fairly faithful as long as somebody will call them every week, or sometimes it takes call every day. They have to have someone watching after them all the time, or else they'll get into some mischief, or they'll grow cold or lax in coming, or they'll get into evil company, or they'll go back into the world. Amaziah was not that kind. He offered himself willingly unto the Lord, and having done so, he was faithful. Amaziah needed no leader to keep him faithful. On the contrary, he took the lead himself and was the captain over 200,000 men of valor. We need men who will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We need men who know what they know and believe what they believe and know how they ought to act, and they're resolved to act that way. Men who are disciplined in the ways of the Lord, and they follow him faithfully to the end, not blown about by every wind of doctrine. A lot of young people going off to college today, and one of the first things they insist on you having when you get to college is faith diversity training. And you've got to see how plausible it is that all these different religious beliefs are credible, and Christianity is no more than Buddhism or Confucianism or Hinduism or Islam. God help us to be men and women who know what we know and believe what we believe and will not be blown around by people of no faith. Amaziah, the leader of this host of mighty men of valor, would be certain to be that kind of man himself. Like leader, like followers. He that would lead brave men must himself be brave. There have been men in the military who have served bravely and faithfully, men who have earned the Silver Star and the Bronze Star and the Navy Cross and the Victorian Cross, and inscribed upon it for valor, which means conspicuous courage or bravery, heroism, going above and beyond the call of duty. Oh, I'd like to meet with a band of brave young men ready to render valiant service to my Lord. Young men with backbone. Young men with grit and stamina. Not been many of that kind in this generation. I'd like to see these young men and these young women here at the church willingly taking part, not forced into anything, just anxious to do something for Jesus. But we want for Christ and for his cause some who cannot be turned aside, but will offer themselves willingly unto the Lord, doing it decidedly, doing it faithfully from the heart, true to Christ, true to God. He offered himself to the Lord. It's the best thing he had. Maybe you don't have anything else to offer. Maybe you're like a lot of people tonight. Maybe you don't have a whole lot to offer. But you can offer yourself. I heard of the missionary service where they were taking up an offering for missions. And the usher came to a little boy in the pew who asked him to lower the plate down a little. And the usher thought he wanted to see his money drop on the plate. And so the usher lowered the plate. And finally, the little boy said, "Please, sir, it's not low enough. Would you mind putting it on the floor?" And so the usher put the plate on the floor, and then the little boy said, "I don't have even a penny to give in the collection. So I want to get into the plate and give myself." I want to give myself to God. That was a simple thing to do, but that's exactly what I wish some would do this hour tonight. Willingly offer yourself to the Lord. Amaziah had no reservations when he gave himself. His money, his ability, his position, his influence, his life, everything he had, he surrendered and yielded up to God. It's good to give an offering, but have you given yourself? Oh, it's good to come to church and join the church, but have you given yourself to the Lord? Have you ever been out in the yard or in the woods and you found a cocoon? I have. I brought that thing home and I put it up on the shelf and I thought, well, I'm just going to watch this thing and see what comes of it. And I looked at that thing and looked at it and I waited. Nothing came out of it. The reason nothing came out of it was because whatever in it had already flown out. You know, many people are like that. We hope they're going to do something. And we hope and we wait and we hope. But nothing ever comes out of the cocoon. Apparently because there's nothing living inside. There's never a flutter of life. There's never a flight on wings. I've seen some of the most gorgeous moths come out of those things. When a man gives himself willingly to the Lord, there is life and there's something worth having and worth seeing. As long as the Lord gives him life and health and strength, Amaziah was committed to serving the Lord. Today, if Christ says go, we ought to go. If he says come, we ought to come. If he says do this, we ought to do it. Willing to do it as the little girl said, the angels do it without asking questions. Often in the military, we would be sent on a mission. And often we didn't even know what the details of the mission were. And I found that little rhyme going through my mind quite often. Ours, not to reason why. Ours, not to make reply. Ours, but to do or die. Christ is the absolute master of that soul who is truly saved. And the soul that is truly saved is willing either to go or to stay, as may seem best to the Lord to whom he has given himself. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. When Amaziah willingly offered himself to the Lord, he made no reserve as to when it would be. He probably gave himself to the Lord as a young man, although that isn't said. I believe he must have begun with all of his heart to serve God in his youth. And he was, when he was in middle life, his children were about him. I believe he was still unfalteringly the servant of God. When he grew gray and others thought he ought to retire from active service, he might slow down a bit. He might give up some of his work, but never would he retire from his service to his God. For he had willingly offered himself unto the Lord. He would serve the Lord as long as there was one breath left in his body. Dr. Isaac Watts wrote that song, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, on which the Prince of Glory died." One verse of that song says, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." God doesn't call everybody to be a prophet. Amaziah wasn't a prophet, but he offered himself to be what God wanted him to be and to be used where he could. He was in the army. He never went to college, never preached a sermon, to my knowledge. There are many occupations today where you may willingly offer yourself to the Lord. Wherever you are, you can win souls. Serve God where you are. Serve God by bringing up your children in the knowledge of Christ. Children, serve God by honoring your mother and your father. No man need to be a stick in the mud because he becomes a Christian. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. God helps in the ordinary concerns of daily life those who put their trust in him. The Bible says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth about those who fear him and delivereth them." The memory of the just is blessed. The footprints they leave behind help others on the blessed path of life. And when they fall asleep, they're among the blessed dead who rest from their labors, and God said their works do follow them. You see, I'm still working on getting some young people in God's army. Our works do follow us. And I'm praying that the Holy Ghost will influence boys and girls and men and women, that they'll say, "We will willingly offer ourselves to the Lord. We will serve him with all of our heart and soul, like Amaziah, who willingly offered himself unto the Lord, and with him 200,000 mighty men of valor." I don't know how many people you can influence to go to heaven, but wouldn't it be wonderful if 200,000 men were in our train tonight, following the footsteps that we have set before them as their leader, as their light, as their guide. Offer yourself to the Lord. And the younger, the better. Never did anyone truly offer himself to the Lord without being accepted. I believe God will take the poorest. God will take the weakest. God will take whosoever will that comes and offers himself willingly to the Lord. What about you tonight? We think about Veterans Day. We think about offering ourselves to our country. But more importantly, let's offer ourselves willingly to our God. Father in heaven, Holy Spirit of God, please speak to hearts tonight. May there be some here in this service to whom your Holy Spirit will speak in a very definite and determined way, calling them to willingly offer themselves to our Lord Jesus Christ this evening. In His name we pray.